the church you're going to this morning, and so it's going to be a bit scratchy. It's just my thoughts. I'm still jet lagged from not sleeping well last night. But it was incredible because it was like God was taking me through a whole fast series of what he is like. And so often what we can do is, a lot of what we talk about is about our faith and about how we need to perform and about what we need to do. And yet when I look through scripture, what I see is God doesn't hide the humanity from any of us. He doesn't hide the failings of any single person. It's like, you know, when he said to Moses on that amazing mountain, he revealed himself and he says, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob." I mean, I know that speaks of promise, but to me what God was doing in that moment was saying to Moses, "Welcome to the club of the men that failed me." You know, it's not an exclusive club. There isn't a person in this room today that isn't in that club. We're all in it. And yet the thread is this. The thread is this that I want us to look at today is how God commits himself to humanity. And when we sing that song that he's my shield and etc., it's because you know what? It's true. And the only constant we have in our lives is God. And I believe this morning he wants to take us on a bit of a journey to remind us of that he's the constant and that he's for us. That he isn't against us. That the promises that he planted in your life are true today as they were yesterday and they will be tomorrow, because he cannot change his mind about you. He says of himself in the New Testament that he is not a God that changes his mind like shifting shadows, and yet he is the Father of lights. Because his commitment to us is incredible. I mean, I love the prophetic so much, and so often when we do prophetic teaching, we talk about the Old Testament like it was a failure. Because it's like, you know what, those prophets in the Old Testament, if they got it wrong, we stoned them and all this and the other. And I believe we miss something as we rob ourselves of that sort of talk. Because what we miss is the threads that are in the Old Testament. All these threads leading from Ruth, leading from Moses, leading from Abraham, all these people that failed God. And yet, these threads of commitment, of grace, because what drives God to humanity is the promise that he's put within them. And we see these threads that all come together in one push, which is in Christ in the New Testament. All these threads, you know, Jacob who stole his brother's inheritance. What's God's response to Jacob? Not you stupid fool, you failed me. His commitment was, inside you I've put a nation and I'm going after that nation. Now the thing is, we all have a choice, don't we? Whether we respond to what God is saying. And we dare to believe those promises. Can we actually believe the things that God says about us? That's the challenge for all of us. I am stuck in Romans 4 for so many months because of Abraham, that blinking old bloke. He winds me up because he's the biggest failure in Scripture. He sold his wife off as his sister twice. He pushed the promise of God because he just couldn't believe because of his aging body of himself and his wife. And he went and had Ishmael. And yet, God's commitment to him was steadfast. And because of God's commitment to him, the God that never gives up, the God who it says in Philippians is in it to its completion, the God who is willing to work at your pace. I love that. We often think God's in a hurry. He ain't in a hurry. Because he's willing to work at your pace. Because what he wants is a church of people, believers, sons and daughters of the living God, that come fully alive in him. And God knows this. The only way any of us can become fully alive is if he captures our heart. And if he captures our heart, he gets the person. And the truth of the matter is, he caught my heart yesterday. And maybe today, I'm in the valley. Maybe today, I'll lose all my hope. Because I'm a bit like that. After 28 years, ask Mel, I'm a man who lives in great heights, but I tell you what, I'm a man that lives in great valleys. And when I'm in those valleys, I wonder even if God exists. I do. I don't know if I'm the only one who feels that, but that's the way I am. But do you know what I then find? I then find the promise again that he put in me. I then go back to what he has said about me. Because do you know what? A promise is only as good as the one that made it. And I tell you something, I think he's pretty good at making promises. And he's a God that keeps his promise. Now the thing is, we're in the mix. So what is it like when we're in those valleys? Well, that's where we find him to be the commitment that we're looking for. Without God, we're stuffed. stuffed without God. And that's where he wants us to be, is to be in that place. And it isn't amazing when you begin to touch the promises of God, they all seem impossible. Because they're well beyond any of us, aren't they? They're well beyond that one day you'll talk to people in high places. Well beyond. But this is what Abraham did. Abraham positioned himself where it says this. In Romans 4 verse 17 it says this. He believed God. He dared to believe God. You see, against hope, in hope, Abraham believed. He got to the place where he was tired of doing it all his own way. And it says that he positioned himself where he decided to look into the eyes of the author and perfecter of his faith. Where after all of those wars, all of those, you know, stepping out of the will of God, he eventually got tired and he just looked again up into the stars, up into the sand on the seashore. And it says this, that Abraham became fully persuaded that God could do all that he promised. Because it's nothing to do with us, actually. It's about how we position ourselves before God. Hey, God, I want to be fully persuaded. And the word persuaded in Greek means plerophoro. And what that means is this. It means to be fully carried by what you have heard. And what is it we hear? You're fearfully, you're wonderfully made. You're a son, you're a daughter, you're an heir, a co-heir. You've been made alive. They're just some of the many thousands of promises in the Bible. But then he gets specific and says, one day. Why? Why does he do this with people like Florence? Why? Because when we get hold of the promise is always beyond ourselves. It's always the benefactors of every life sat in this chair today. Do you know what the benefactors are? It's the people of this town. It's the people that surround you. It's your neighbors, your friends. I love all the gifting stuff. I love it to bits. I love that we're training people in healing. We train them in the prophetic. I love all that. Everyone knows I love all that. I love the stuff we do. But I tell you what, I also get fed up with this, is that the benefactors of everything we learn should be this town. It should be. And the benefactors of the promise on your life are the people yet to know him. And I'm glad you're walking through a door on the 17th of December to declare the Christ. Because Christmas is not a season, it's a person. Isn't that amazing? There's that Florence gets the opportunity. Why? Because 3 years ago she just dared to believe God. That God could do this. And I believe God wants to awaken those promises in people today. And during the worship, I was just, as we were singing that song, He's My Shield, I was suddenly just taken back to a scripture. I think it's in Genesis 15, and Miriam sings her song as they've been delivered and gone over the waters into the promised land. And then suddenly, here they are fulfilling the promise of God. And I love this about God. He leads them to a place where they're thirsty, and they get to the waters, and the waters are bitter. They're sweet, bittersweet. They can't drink the water, the pool of Mirah. And it says this in one translation, that Moses took a tree and threw it into the water and it was made clean. Just wind forward a few thousand years and Peter talks about a tree that the Savior was put upon. I love the way Peter talks about it as a tree and not a cross. Because what he was doing, he was just taking it right back to that moment. No matter how bitter your situations are here this morning, I believe the God of promise wants to come today and turn those waters sweet so you can drink from the promises again. And I believe there are a number of situations in this room today where what we prayed a minute ago about breakthrough, I believe God wants to do something of that this morning. He wants to bring breakthrough. He wants to bring the tree, which is Christ. Because remember, all those threads throughout Scripture lead to one person, because it's in Christ that everything is fulfilled. We can't bypass him. We can't stop short of him. It is Christ, the God of the Old Testament, that pursued humanity, ran after them. And the way he did it, he brought his son upon this earth and said, it's from this point I end that race. Because it's going to be in him that I'm revealed to humanity. And I believe God wants to break through some situations today. That's you. Just close your eyes a minute, and if you can stand, stand. I believe just God just wants to do something. We've got one, that's great. Because I want to declare this over this church. You know, faith is only ever described. It's massive faith, isn't it? Faith is amazing. It seems so large, but let me tell you this. Faith begins its journey as a mustard seed. And I believe this, out of something small, God could do something big. And I want to just say to you, the favor that has come upon this church, I think getting this place is just a sign of it. I really believe the enemy has wanted to come and pull the rug from under your feet and position you in a place where you wonder whether that favor is real for your life. And I believe God wants to do something here this morning. I believe he wants to say to you guys, I'm about to do something big from a small place. Because what I've planted in this church is a faith the size of a mustard seed. Because that's all it takes. And I believe as you stand this morning, I just want you to just imagine the situation that you're in. And I just want you to see today the cross of Christ just be thrown into those bittersweet waters. Because when he comes, he makes all things clean. And I believe there's a turning around about to happen. And when we pray heaven upon earth, I believe that it first happens in the heavens, but it has to manifest itself upon earth. It has to. Otherwise, it's pointless. So we're just going to ask the Holy Ghost to come. Holy One, just come. Lord, I believe that you want to raise expectation in this church again, Father. The Father, you want them to take hold of the favor that you've poured into this place. That, Father, that perhaps through this body of people, you can begin to save a town. Wouldn't it be amazing if this group of people were part of your body that began to reveal the Christ, the God of all hope, of all glory, a God who he has made such a commitment to his humanity, not just the church. Wouldn't it be amazing if Slough this Christmas knew a God who made a commitment to them for life and said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That out of that baby in a manger, hope for the nations arose. So Holy One, come. And I just pray for the gift of faith. I believe the gift of faith just wants to come upon you right now. The gift of faith to believe. And you see, it has to come as a gift because you haven't got it in yourself at the moment to dare to believe. But there's a gift of faith that comes. And suddenly a gift of faith can come. And suddenly change our minds, how we see our situations. And as that gift of faith begins to fall upon this place, dare to believe God. Dare to believe God. Dare to believe God. That the God that made his promise a few years ago, a few weeks ago, a few days ago, cannot change his mind about them. Just let him come. We're just going to take a moment. Do you know, it says in Scripture that he who began a good work in you will see it up until completion. And I believe, young man, that there's a call upon your life, a call to have a tremendous spirit of boldness, to be able to proclaim and speak the gospel in situations where other people won't go. And he's just telling me to tell you that he'll never let you down if you dare step out into those situations. Now, here's the thing. God is a God of belonging, young man. And he sets the lonely into families, and he brings people into a place where they can be looked after and cared for. And I believe part of your role in life is to find a safe place for people to come, safe place for people to call home. And I would urge you to awaken your heart today to find a place that you call home, which will be really important to you. Because wherever you place yourself, the benefactors of that will be the humanity around them. And let me tell you this, young man. You dare to dream of hundreds of people getting saved. I dare you to dream of hundreds upon hundreds of people getting healed. I dare you to dream. I dare you to dream that you could fill this building with people that you meet just next week. I dare you to believe that God has put a gospel in you, a gospel of power and not just words. And here's the strange thing for you. As you begin, I believe this, as you begin to step out like this, God will place you into a home that will blow your brains apart. Because it's important to you as well. It's important to you that you belong, that you get hold of the shirt tails of God and you hang on to them. You hang on to them for your dear life. And so I want to declare a new era, a new season over you. It's like he's getting serious with you, young man. Because he loves you to bits. And he'll never let go of you. Because he can't change his mind about you. So come, Holy Spirit, come. And I pray for the gift of faith. For what you have spoken. This isn't new words. This is stuff that he has spoken literally only 6 months ago. Literally. It's like a day might not go by for you, young lady, where God can't speak to you. But here's what I love about God is that he's been constant and consistent in how he reminds you of the things that he said to you. Because lying in you is tremendous promise. Lying in you is to break out in worship that brings justice and dancing upon the head of the enemy. It's like there's been a call upon your life just to see the power of God move in tremendous ways. And yet, he is the prize in all this, even for you. He's the prize for you. And I just believe that part of what beholds for you is that you will see loneliness broken over people in the most incredible ways. Because you know a God that's never left you or forsaken you. A God who's never abandoned you. And you will rescue people from making stupid decisions in their lives as you prophetically just sing over them. And then he's just shown me how your embrace is incredible. There's something about your embrace when you put your arm around people. Suddenly, it brings them into a place of belonging. And he is the God, the desire of all the nations. And there'll be times when the nations will beckon you. And then there'll be other times where you just feel you need to go. But Father, I just pray that what you've been speaking about over the last 6 months or so, that you'll bring to a place of completion in this young girl's life today. Because let me tell you this, the promises of God are not like a golden carrot that he just dangles before us. It's not like that. I'm tired of that theology. It's just like it's here, come on, and we're forever seeing but never receiving. I can't believe that of my God. I can't believe it. I can't believe that's his nature. But I know this, we have to play our part. And if we dare believe. And you've dared to believe so much, haven't you? I don't know how you've done it. I don't know how you've held on. But I would hasten a guess that it's because you know him. And somehow he is all you've got at times. But I want you to know that your faith. Do you know, Cornelius? God heard his prayers. God saw his gifts to the poor.
And then God came into his household and rescued his household. And I don't want you to give up on that, because I want you to know this, your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been heard. And do you know what? Sorry, what's your name, I should ask? Mary. What a great name, Mary. There's a lot in a name. This is all off the cuff, by the way, but are you happy with this? I could preach if you want, but I just get a sense. You know, part of what God said to me in my dream last night was, he said, tell them I'm committed to them. And I was reminded of Peter. You know, when Peter was around when Jesus rose and Jesus saw some of the disciples and he said, but go and tell Peter, I'm here. Because he knew where Peter was, where Peter had placed himself. And you know what? I think it's been a tough journey for some people here up until now. I think it has. But you know what? I believe there has to be a new era in our lives. I believe it has to be that. Why? Because I tell you something, I am convinced of this more than ever, that God wants to position this group of people. I know he's got others in Slough, but I tell you something. He wants to position these people where they're so fully alive with the promise of God, because the benefactors will be the people out there. But it also begins in our home, because our prayers have been answered. And I want to thank you, Mary, for your prayers. I want to thank you for your gifts that you've given. You've given of yourself. You've been sacrificial more than some people in this room will ever know. But God knows. And you know, the funny thing with Cornelius is this. He's the first recorded Gentile saved in Scripture. And it's like God has set a new family bloodline through you, Mary. That's just going to go through generation upon generation upon generation because of your faith. And I don't want you to give up, girl. I don't want you to give up. So, Holy One, I just pray you come now upon Mary, Lord. This amazing woman, your daughter. And do you know what I love about Mary in Scripture, Mary, is while other people marveled at Jesus, she pondered and treasured the things of God. And keep doing it, Mary. Keep holding close the promises. Keep holding close the words. Keep declaring them. Keep praying them. Keep believing them. And Lord, I pray that where it's been a burden, you lift that off her today, once and for all. The Father God, just this last 3 to 4 years, just lift it off, because you came and gave us peace. And I pray for that peace that surpasses understanding just to wash over Mary this morning. In the name of Jesus, just come. So let the gift of faith just rise in this room. Rise for whatever situation, whatever, how personal it is, it's okay. Just let it rise. Why don't we just take a seat a minute? I just want to say something. Not that I haven't said anything yet. But you give someone like me a mic, it's very dangerous. Especially after you've dreamt all night. I believe God wants to get personal with River Church Slough this morning. And this is just stuff that I felt last night. You've got to test and approve everything. So I'm not God. But let me tell you this. Is as I believe that God wants you to stop believing that you're the poorer brother. You're not the brother that gets scraps. You're not the brother that gets leftovers. But I believe that there's a favor that's about to fall upon this place. I do believe it. I have to say it. I do believe that the people are going to stand in awe and amazement about what God's about to do here. And it's going to begin with you. And I would urge you, when you get home today, you get out every word that's ever been spoken over your life. And you dare to believe it again. Because I tell you what, these promises, although they're very personal to you, that if you dare believe them and become fully awakened in them, the benefactors will be this town. Will be our families. And I just want to break the lie where it's been like you're the poorer brother, that you're getting your pocket money, your handouts. And I believe that period is going to come to an end. I believe God's going to pull you into a new era. You get a sense when you walk through the door what the DNA of this place is. You get a sense that you believe in a God that's miraculous. You get a sense that you've birthed this place in prayer. Prayer is an important thing amongst you here. We sung earlier, prayer changes things. But I believe it's time to make yourselves more visible than you've ever been before to the community around you. It can begin with one person tomorrow that gets saved. Listen, while others are still figuring out and still doing all the stuff, at the end of the day, I believe there's a call of God upon this church to see people saved. Because I believe you can be trusted with people. I believe you're a good family to put people in. Because some people just need to be straight talking. Some people just need to be like you. Spade's a spade. No grey areas. Grey areas. They may be going balding, but there's no grey. But you can't deny your passion, sir. Can't deny your passion. Can't deny what you believe. And I believe there, just as we saw over this young man and we've seen over Mary, I believe this, that there is something about when you begin to step out and just believe, that you take one step and it doesn't look very solid underneath. But because you take the step, God will move. And you see, there is something about he's been waiting on you and you've been waiting on him. But somebody needs to make the first move. And guess who it is? It's you. What's your name? Dario. What a great name. Why didn't you stand, Dario? Are you with him? Oh, come on. Your wife. You chose well. You drew the short straw. No. You see, it's family, it's home, isn't it? It's where it begins and it's where it ends for you guys. You know, and I just pray, irrespective of age, it's not an age thing, this kingdom thing. It's not. But what's important is the way in which your door is always open. Your front door is always open to people. And you know what? I'd get them in. I'd let them in. I'd be praying, God, we want a new knock on that door today. I want somebody who's knocking on our door, has never knocked on our door before. Because he will send people towards you. And you need to be ready for people to come. Because it will be in the dynamic of your home as you feed them that they'll come to know Christ. Because you may as well fill their bellies at the same time. And there'll be young men, because a lot of men are younger than you anyway, because you get to a certain age where they become younger. I think even Enoch is pushing it with you. But they just need to know what a father's like. They need to know that a father can speak directly to them and say, if you keep doing those stupid things will happen. And they need a dad that just says, stop doing stupid things. Because here's the option. And then here's the thing I love about you. Because when you speak truth, you prophetically speak into people and you don't even know it. Because you understand the hearts of people. You see into the hearts of people. You always have. Even as a young man, you had a discerning spirit about you. You understood. You could tell the jokers. You could tell the ones who would pick your pockets pretty quick. You always knew. And it ain't over. It ain't over. And I just want to pray. What's your name?
Pina.
Say again your name. Darius and Pina. Why don't we just reach our hands towards them? Because this sounds bizarre, isn't it? I just believe there's something about this couple that, you know, what God's proving to you, that it's never over till it's over. Do you know what I mean? And man, I just the moment I said that, it was just like I heard tremendous, it was like Mario Lanza was singing out of your home. It was just like great music singing. It was just like the joy of the Lord was in your place because of what you two bring. And you need to get music allowed in your place again. Let it out because it will attract people. It will draw them. And you know what? If I was you, being church leaders, I would use them as a great evangelistic tool. Because do you know what? I would be. I'd be saying, do you know what? We spoke about the table. Here's the thing. You may not have heard of this, but I've lived with this thing for years, and it's just popped back into my head now. I'm on a roll with this. I love this couple. Have you ever heard the story of Babette's Feast? You ever heard of it? It's a great story, isn't it? That girl that she gave all her money away just to feed. Just to feed. And there is something about, do you know what? Let them come and feed the community. I mean it, food-wise. Let them come. Let people who wouldn't know what it's like to be around a dinner table with family to come around your table. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that it ain't over, that it's just beginning again for this couple, that this straight-talking man full of passion and compassion, Father, will live his days out speaking truth and bringing release and freedom into young men who are doing stupid things when they shouldn't do stupid things, caught up in things that will break in the hearts of their mums and their dads. And then they meet this couple. Because around the dining room table, Father, they're going to minister the grace of Jesus. Around the dining room table, Father, they'll see people just weep as they encounter the Lord. Maybe you could lay a table of a feast for the community and let them come. And let the prophets sit around the table and minister to them as they eat. Have you got a dream for that? Wouldn't it be amazing if we had a long table in here, two or three long tables, and you just went around the estate around here and just said, it's a free meal, Christmas meal. Don't have to be this year, it could be next year. Why don't you come? We're going to feed you, cost you nothing. And as they come, all this gifting that's in this blinking church, the healing, the hours, dyes put into people, encouraging them, building them up into their faith. I tell you what, that's where the rubber hits the road for me. Wouldn't it be great if healings happened around a table like that? Through you. Through you. See the lady at the back, the very back, the one I said hello to, her husband I met there. What's your name again? Sandra. Do you know, Sandra, we have to do what brings us alive. And do you know what? When I said that, I just think something came alive in you. Because I tell you what, you are about people. This gospel that doesn't touch people is no gospel at all as far as you're concerned. Because otherwise it's just hogwash and we're just smoke and mirrors type thing. But there is a real love for humanity that God has put within you. I don't know why, but it's almost like you're foundational to this place. There's something about what you've built. I don't know how you may have only been here 10 minutes, and if it's only 10 minutes, but it's something like you've built something into this place that these people are now building upon. And I still believe you've got something to bring to the table, Sandra. You have great organizational skills. You can see past what other people see. And I would urge you, Sandra, to bring them into this current day because the promises of God don't have time scales on them. They don't have time limits. Can we miss them? Of course we can. But does it stop him pursuing us? No. Does it stop him reminding us? No. Because there are people that you and your husband will be around that somehow in the past have lost their faith because it was so tragic with what they encountered. And somehow it robbed them of their faith. And I don't know why, but I believe there are numerous people in this place that have lost their faith, that I believe as we begin to reach out again, as you and your husband begin to reach out again, I believe they'll come back to their faith. It may be their last breath faith, but I believe they can come back. I don't want to call them prodigals, because that just puts all kind of connotations on it. But there might have been people that were even in this place once that have lost their faith. And you know what? I believe it's a new time. And I don't know who you are, but I want to celebrate. What's your Mike is it? Or Mike and Sandra, just stand a minute. I just want to do something. I do this. I try and look for this everywhere I go around the world. And I just love people who are faithful. Because, you know, I'm really into the faithfulness of God. But I also realize this. Unless God moves totally sovereign outside of all of our worlds, he proves his faithfulness to us through other people. That's why we're a family and we're a body. If you want to know the faithfulness of God, then do you know what? He'll use you to show his faithfulness to somebody else. That's what he does. Because it's through the church he reveals himself. It's through you, because we are made in the image of him. And I just want to say to you, I want to celebrate what you've brought to this place. I want to thank you, because I tell you what, I see it this deep as in foundation. And it's almost like God has written so much that today Ian and Sabrina can stand on. I don't know who you are, what you've done, but we need to celebrate you two. And I would like us not to be too British, and I would like us to applaud this couple. And it ain't over. It ain't over. We need you more today than we've ever needed you. And Mike, you've got to get back on that bike, because there are no stabilizers on it. And I tell you what, it's just like as you begin to ride the bike again of all that God's called you to do, it'll come back to you like riding a bike so instantly. You don't need shoulder pads, knee pads. You don't need to be mollycoddled. You don't need to be frightened of being hurt. You just need to get on the bike and be all that you're called to be again. And I tell you what, Mike, this place, this little 2-foot circle is reserved for you. Come on. They obviously know what it means. I don't know. I'm just running with the spirit of things. This belongs to you. This little 2-foot thing. You're a man of the spirit, Mike.
Come on, take that, mate.
That's the best 10 quid you've ever given me, isn't it?
I had to change his last answer.
I know nothing, so you've got to test it, I know that, but you can sit down now because you're... You see, when we start to walk in the promises and but dare to believe God, because of who you and I are, because of who we are, everywhere we walk, it's like grace covers us, grace is in us. And when we touch humanity, it's like grace and shame collide. Grace and shame collide. Do you know what it's like to live in shame? Adam and Eve experienced it just for a little while, and they hid. Because people in shame hide. People in shame become isolated. People in shame isolate themselves. We can sing a change in the world, but if we can't change the square mile God's given us, what hope is there to change the world? It doesn't wash much with me anymore. It used to. But you know what? How can we not care for the square mile that God's given us? I believe God's going to awaken dreams in this place. Some crazy dreams. The guy at the black with the grey, the black guy. What's your name? Why don't you stand? Man, you're a class guy, aren't you? You're class. You got some good stuff about you, young man. You've got an amazing mind. I wish I had half of your brain.
Do you know, it says in Scripture that God determines where we shall live in hope that we will cry out to him. And I just want to say to you that you're in the place at the moment where God ordains you to be. And I would encourage you to bring all of your life into that sphere. Because here's the thing with you. Paul talks about our spheres of influence. He talks about them in Scripture, and he says this, that as our faith grows, so does our sphere of influence. And I believe you are a man of influence. You've got a great mind and a great voice, and you have an eloquent way of speaking on behalf of. And I believe that God will want to increase the sphere of your influence in all that you do. And so I pray for you a fresh favor upon your life, that from this moment today, from this time now, 12:05, that the sphere of influence, as faith grows in you to believe God, your sphere of influence will grow. Because you're going to be a man that's an influence and not influenced. You're the head and not the tail. All those analogies. So I want to thank you for all that you are, your whole life. He's a good man, isn't he? If you don't know him, you've got to get to know him. He's a good man. You can sit down. I don't know what to do next now. I'll have a drink for a minute and have a think. I did all these notes. But I said to Mel on the way up, I said, I really feel it's about just ministry here today. I mean, we get 52 preachers a year. You know, they all come and go, don't they? But we need an encounter sometimes just to dare believe God. And I believe it's significant for him coming saying to you guys today that he's committed to you, that he's not forgotten you. You're not the brother, the young, you know, the poorer brother. You're not. You're actually rich. You're rich in the things that God wants us to be rich in mercy, rich in faith, rich in love. But you're ready. You're ready for people to come, and you're ready for you to go. Because it is about people. This whole message is about people. You got Di. Wouldn't it be great if Di wrote a book about the revival in Slough? Do you know what? I was watching Pointless the other day. Everyone seen Pointless? I couldn't believe what... I'm no poet, so I don't know much. I wasn't very good at English. That's why I have a limited vocabulary, although I got a good O-level in English, basically, because the teacher liked me. And she said to me, don't worry, you are going to pass. And I did, funny enough. So that was great. But you know, some poet wrote, if you're going to bomb, then bomb Slough. I couldn't believe that. I saw it on Pointless. That's it. And yeah, that's it. And you know what? It broke my heart when I read that. When I saw that on TV the other day, I thought, my goodness me, what a curse. To say, do you know what? This place ain't worth much. If one remains God, one righteous man, one righteous woman remains, it's enough for him to come and visit. And even then he'll work. I do believe it. Can anything good come out of Slough? You've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. And you've got to take hold of this, Ian, Sabrina. You've got to take hold of this. You know, you're part of God's jigsaw puzzle to the church in Slough. You're not the full answer. You can't be. None of us can. But you've got a big bit, and I think you're an important bit. I think you're the bit that things can be built around. And I pray for a new confidence in you guys that you can bring stuff to the table. And you know what? You haven't got to wait for other people's permission. You just got to have the permission of God. And God brought you here because that was his permission. And you know what? I'd start to get on with it. I'd start to say, do you know what? You know, you look at the coffers and think, well, have we got it? Well, if he's spoken, I think it's his problem, not yours. See, let me tell you just this last thing about faith. I remember having a disagreement with God a couple of years ago about faith because I kind of was in my valley moment. And I said, and Mel and I were, you know, 3 years into this new walk of faith. And I went to a friend of mine for a job because I got fed up of it just being tough. So I went to him in London. He you know, he's a multimillionaire, and I just said, look, give me a job. And he said, no. He said, it's not what you're called to do. So I kind of lost my temper and got in my car, and as I drove out of his gated community, I was like, this faith thing stinks. I said, faith is nothing but risk. And then the Lord just spoke to me and said, who said it was risk? So I wrapped my brains and I went, John Wimber. I thought, God blame someone. And he said, faith ain't a risk in my book, because faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, they've rewritten that last bit. The new translations say this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. It was always Christos, because it's about a living relationship, because God is constantly speaking to us about who we are and our call and our destiny. And what I'd forgotten, I'd moved away from a place where I dare to believe what God said over my life can be true. And I had to position myself again, and Mel, where we could be fully carried by what God has said. That's why Jesus warned us against the praise of man. Because we don't need the praise of man. What people think about me or don't think about me no longer conditions me to how I walk with God. It used to. I used to long for the approval. I used to long for it. But I'd forgotten the approval I was looking for was just my Father's approval. Because when he speaks, it's enough. And you know what? For Mel and I, we love the word of God. We love people praying over us and stuff like this. But you know what? I've got a bucket full of words. And you know what I want to do? I want to get them out again, read them and say, wow, that came to pass. But this hasn't. I've still got something to go for. Because the promise is only as good as the one that makes it. And I think he's pretty good. So why don't we stand? Because I know you guys have got to pack up. Next time I'll preach a word, I promise. Another 15 minutes, well, one more. I want to bless this church, Lord. Father, I pray that you rend the heavens over this place. Father, I pray for the finances that have been withheld will be released over this place, Father, in the coming days. Father, I pray as they get download from heaven, vision, word, dream after dream, Father, that comes about how they can change the square mile that you've given them. Father, I pray that even as those dreams begin to fall, that the finances just seem to fall into place. That, Father, I pray that finances will never stop this church from fulfilling its call and its destiny. So, Father, come. The God who fulfills dreams, come. And that this place would be known as a place where they dare to believe God. Dare to believe. So just come, Holy Spirit, just come. I pray you get personal with every single person in this room today. Personal with them, Lord, where it's like you're just grabbing hold of them and you're saying, I believe in you. And Father, I thank you for this man who he knows a thing or two about friendship. I wonder when God made Barnabas, you know, often he throws the mold away because we're all so individual, but somehow I think he kept the mold going for a man like you to be an encourager, to be a believer, to be a man that wouldn't give up on anybody, not even himself.
And I pray for this man, Lord, that he'll have a fresh revelation of the friendship of God, what the friendship of God really means. Because he's a friend, Lord. He's a friend. He's a friend to this community. He's a friend to the households. He's a friend to the places where other people will fear to tread. But he's a friend in those places. So, Lord, we pray you come and you just pour out your love, your grace upon this man. And encourage him this morning, Lord, as he spends his life encouraging others. Never grows weary. He never grows faint. But come, Jesus, this morning. Come with your Holy Spirit and encourage your son this morning beyond his wildest dreams. The Father, that this man will see life come where other people have just seen death and brokenness, that this man, through his encouragement, will see life. Come, Jesus. It's amazing God, isn't he? Why don't we sing? Are we able to sing again, Maestro? Hey, listen, when you're 50, everyone's young. Do you know, I think God loves, he does, you know, he loves worship, clearly he does, and I think he wants some resident worshippers in this place, and I've got a belief for it, because it's incomplete for you. It's incomplete for you while you haven't got one. And it's not that none of you can't sing, it's just, you know what, God positions us where he positions us. And so I feel, how much do you want it? How much do you want it? And because I believe there's a vibrancy that's about to come out of this place. And I believe it's one of those things that's been withheld. I don't know why, but I get a sense it's been withheld up until now. And I believe that you're going to see an amazing breakthrough in that area. I believe God will do it. They could walk in tomorrow, but I believe it's going to come. Because there's a call upon you guys to reach the young people. He's not asked for an aging church, and it's not going to be an aging church. This place is not going to be an aging church. You're just not going to all wake up in 20 years' time and there'll be a few empty seats because some have gone home and we're all a bit greyer and bolder. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that's what God has called for this place. I do believe that it's going to be a generational church. It has to be. The church has to be generational, otherwise we fail. So I want to push your button here today and say, are you daring to believe that God could send you the musicians that you long for, the singers that you long for? I believe he wants to. I'm happy to agree with that this morning if you are. I believe we can do it today. So Father, we pray you send us to complete the circle, as it were, the musicians, the singers that you've said that we will have in this place. Father, we pray that you send them. We pray, Lord, that you'll awaken the hearts of those that have been withheld up until now, and so that they will come. And it will be a call, and it will be so clear, Lord, that they've been called to this place. And I pray, Father, that it will be almost like as they come, so a new sound will reach out and the generations will begin to come. It's exciting, isn't it? You haven't just got to roll through the Sundays in a year and the Wednesdays and the Thursdays. That there's actually a purpose. There's more to this. There's more to him. There's more to him. He's amazing. You know, wasn't Paul's sufferings that led him where he was in Christ. It was his love for Jesus. I'm convinced of that. That Paul fell in love with Jesus. And that's why he became the man that he became. So why don't we just worship now, and whatever song comes to mind, heart, spirit, whatever it is, then we'll call it a day.